ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. COVID-19, we know its genome, but we don't know why some people are sent to the ICU while others are able to go about their business. We don't know when there will be a vaccine or treatment, but we know we have to figure out new ways of getting things done because we can't hunker down in isolation indefinitely. We know people are consuming more entertainment, but we aren't sure how to produce more when crews can't travel to shoot,
which is where today's guest, Ira Rosenzweig, comes in.
Ira and his co-founders have created Crew in a Box, a company that has developed a remote-controlled television and commercial production solution.
Ira, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm really looking forward to learning more about Crew in a Box, how you and your partners came up with the idea, what it took to bring to life, and how it works, how things have been going. And first, COVID-19 initially closed everything down, but as things begin to open up again, and until there's a vaccine or treatment, we're operating in a new normal. Costs have gone up. But what's mostly driving those costs? Is it insurance? Are there other factors?
Yeah, I mean, it's a number of things. Well, the insurance isn't necessarily driving it up. It depends on really what the production is. And I think for longer term things like film and TV productions, insurance is a greater concern because if you have, you know, you need cast insurance because what happens if somebody gets sick and then the production gets shut down for a certain amount of time and you have people employed for a longer period of time. So I think that's more of a concern with longer term productions. But for things that I'm usually dealing with, which are commercials and promos for networks, insurance is an issue and people are still trying to figure out what exactly it means. Because like if you have a payroll company, the payroll does cover employees for COVID-related costs, at least in the near term. However, in the long term, if someone, you know, loses a lot of work, or let's say they have long-term health effects, that it may not. So people are still trying to figure that out. But with other forms of insurance, like just general production liability, they are not covering COVID. So it's people are afraid of their, you know, what kind of liability they have. But aside from that, you know, all the COVID precautions that you have to take now, which include, you know, I just had a shoot the other day. So for a 1 day shoot, you usually get in early, you have one long day, everybody works really hard and you get out. But now we had to get the location the day before, we had to sanitize the location, art department started, basically preset everything. And then we had to sanitize again when we left. And then the next day, whereas you'd usually have a 10 or 12 hour day, I think, you know, we got there at 6 a.m. and left at 10 p.m., staggering crew throughout the day, people working longer hours. So all in all, I think we're probably talking about a 15 to 20% increase in budget just because of COVID related stuff.
Wow. So just really the time factor of what you need to do.
Yeah.
In terms of the precautions, one of the things people are talking about is there isn't a national response. There aren't national guidelines. So as far as shooting goes, are there national protocols? Are there things that the unions are putting out or that different industry associations are putting out? How are you determining what protocols you are needing to follow?
Yeah, I mean, different unions have put out different protocols, and I think they've consulted each other and they have guidelines for productions to follow. But again, it's there is no national kind of coordinated response or suggestions for how these things should go. I mean, it's on a state and local level. And, you know, if we shot, like, I think we only were able to start permitting locations, I'd say like starting 2 weeks ago. And there's that's just in LA County. And so like, if we wanted to originally shoot in like Newport Beach and or Laguna Beach, and they're not opening up at what I heard, at least until the end of the summer. So it's really a case by case basis.
So it's in this landscape that, you know, initially everything shuts down and you're a director and you're faced with, oh my, everything's shut down. How take us through how you came up with Crew in a Box and what it took to get it to a place where you could put it together.
Sure. So over the past few years, at least, I've been lucky enough to become kind of known as a celebrity director. I've always been a comedy director and branched out a little bit, but for the past few years, I'm not sure why, but it's been mostly celebrities. So I guess it was around March 17th when the shelter in place went into effect, or people were saying it was about to go into effect, I completely panicked and thought to myself, when am I ever going to work again? And I'm sure a lot of other people in the industry and people who own production companies thought the same thing. But because of my background directing celebrities, I said to myself, networks and brands are at least going to be wanting to do kinds of spots. I mean, if they're not going to be able to do these full-blown huge productions, right now the only things that they could do are clip spots or animation. And I started seeing some really poor looking Zoom kind of shoots, which, you know, I can't really fault at the beginning. Like, you have to be resourceful and figure out how to get those things done. But for the most part, like, though, it was that and people using their iPhones to film themselves. And I thought to myself, you know, this is fine for now, but people are going to want to at least have a celebrity get on screen and say, "Hi, I'm so-and-so, please watch my new show." Or they'll, "Hi, I'm so-and-so, drink this soda." So, on at least that level, I thought we could create something that would allow celebrities to do direct address to camera type things. And then I realized, wait a minute, this thing, if we build it the right way, this would also be great for interviews and potentially roundtable discussions. So it was born out of sheer panic. And I really quickly got down to it researching, you know, how we could build a self-contained unit that is, you know, very easy for talent to use, but also gives networks and brands the like professional quality look that they would have expected in a pre-COVID world. And so I started coming up with the idea with Crew in a Box. And so I engaged a couple of really brilliant friends of mine to help me with it. One of which is Dallas Sterling, who's a great DP. He basically, after we talked about exactly how this thing would work and function, he modeled it and then built it in his garage. And then Jeremy Fernsler, who's a VFX supervisor, who recently worked on the last season of Westworld, he came on and wrote software to make sure that, you know, the different pieces of equipment are communicating with each other. And essentially, we created a device which is fully plug and play. It arrives in a military grade case. We can ship it directly to talent. They basically open the lid and connect it to power in their home, and it immediately connects over the internet to what we're calling our mission control, where we fully operate without talent needing to do anything. It's a 6K cinema camera. There's two microphones that we monitor the levels on. We built a homemade light. It expands to 3 feet wide and, you know, is dimmable and has custom color temperatures. And then the really special thing that people are responding to is there's a teleprompter lens. It's called a beam splitter glass, which the camera shoots through. So that you can use for a teleprompter, but you can also use it as what's called an interotron, which is something that the documentarian Errol Morris invented, where basically the director's face can appear right on that screen in front of the camera. So talent can be speaking to the director and also looking in the lens at the same time. And so that's great for that kind of purpose. Or if you have, you know, a two-person interview and they each have two crew in a box, each has a crew in a box unit, I should say. Then basically they can be both pieces of talent can be looking at each other as you know, they're looking in the camera. So it's a really versatile piece of equipment and with a lot of different ways it can be used.
So with that, you also get some nice eye line matching that way. I imagine that was one of the things that was pretty awkward with some of these Zoom setups, was that the eye line was all over the place. So just to summarize, if you were in an elevator with the head of a network and you wanted to tell them what Crew in a Box was, how would you describe it?
Well, basically, we're calling it the world's first professional quality plug and play remote production solution. So, you know, it basically allows the talent to, let's put it this way. I've seen some, you know, different solutions where it's professional quality stuff, but people are sending the different pieces of equipment piecemeal, and the celebrity then has to assemble it themselves and shoot themselves. And the last thing that talent wants to do is be responsible for filming themselves. So we take that completely out of their hands. We, by controlling every single component in the box that is already integrated together, we ensure a seamless shoot where you're having filmmakers, while they're not in the actual location with talent, they're ensuring the highest quality production possible and making sure that all the settings are perfect throughout.
So idiot proof, remote control, quality shooting.
Exactly.
It seems like one of the things that I was curious about, though, is how scalable is it? I mean, how much is the quality because you've got a 6K camera, and how much of the quality is because Dallas is an operator and you're a director and you're teaming together and you're this very talented director and you don't have to fly hither and yon, but you can stack interviews one after the next because you've got all these crew in a box boxes. So how scalable is your project?
Well, I mean, in terms of scalable, do you mean like how many units can be used at the same time, or like how?
Well, what I mean by scalable is this something that you can franchise that other production companies can use, or is it limited because you're the director and Dallas is the operator linked to this tech?
Oh, no. So, yeah, we're offering a couple of different solutions. So at the beginning, I was thinking that we would probably, you know, hold off selling units for a while, but the demand has been so great that we're now taking custom pre-orders. So the idea is that you can, if you have like a one-off shoot, you can hire my production company, Wavemaker Creative, to basically be a full service production company, which we've done on traditional shoots for a long time, or you can basically rent crew in the box from us. And that it's not just a rental of the piece of equipment, because it's obviously something that somebody needs to be trained on. So you would also get like an operator with that. And there's some pre-production that needs to be done in terms of, you know, scouting locations and figuring out where the box needs to be sent and what the best cell networks are. And so we can make sure we're outfitted with the correct hotspots. But for sure, like, it's not intended to be only used by Wavemaker. So now we are selling the units, and we're making it available for agencies and production companies. There's, you know, it's amazing to see the different uses that people see it for. Like, we've talked to certain networks and they're like, this is amazing for press junkets. Like, with the fact, you know, talent never loves doing those things anyway, but now they can basically sit in their home and you can cue people up in the conference, and as one person's done, the next person jumps on and the talent never has to leave home. You know, other people are saying this is great for a confessional camera for reality shows. So there's, and scarily in a way, people are also saying this can be used. I mean, we'll never need to send a crew to X location anymore. We can just send them out. So, you know, I'm not trying to take jobs away from local crews, but like, you know, it's interesting to see the way that people want to use it.
Yeah, I was wondering how the operator fit into the union, non-union shoot. Some of the broadcasters obviously are union shops, and what, you know, whether something's shooting union or non-union becomes an issue. But I presume you seem to be working fine with the unions. They just view it as a new tech.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have union and non-union operators. So it depends on, like, if it's a union shoot, you just crew up with the right union people.
Right. So there's a 6K camera, one LED light, a teleprompter and Teratron beam splitter glass, two mics. Mm-hmm. Now, how knowledgeable does that person on the receiving end need to be? You mentioned pre-production, but does it come with... I remember when my kids were little, I used to put out this plastic and put the high chair on the plastic, and it was a splat mat. And, you know, if you put the chair in the right spot, the food would only go on the mat and it was easier to clean up.
Right.
So do you have some sort of map for them where this is where you put the box, this is where you put the light, this is where you put your chair, this is the distance? Or is that handled through pre-pro?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to depend for every project. I mean, some talent's going to say, I don't want to be bothered with anything ahead of time, and we'll just figure it out on the shoot. However, there is definitely pre-production that we encourage. So it, even as little as asking the talent to send different location photos of their house, and then we can kind of, with the agency or product or client, figure out where the best placement is for the box. But then we get it in there, and when we start, you know, basically start the production and we all get on the video conference, there's obvious tweaking. It's not like you're just going to put the box down and go. So we send an accessories kit with, you know, an extension cord if needed. We send the box itself, like when you take the lid off, you can stack the actual Karuna box unit on top of it if you need height. But we also send risers to put it on. We send, you know, wedges to make sure you're getting the perfect angle. So, you know, we've thought of all these things. We're actually building a stand right now that will be, you know, adjustable and easy to use. So if talent doesn't want to put the box on their on any of their furniture, they don't have to. But we're also sending, like right now, a neoprene mat to protect anything. So yeah, we're thinking of all these things and trying to really make it, as you said, as idiot proof as possible. And you know, just make the experience you know, much more seamless than what people have become accustomed to with remote production.
So shoots sometimes require a lot of power. So regular power, just a regular outlet?
Yeah. Yeah. There's no kind of generator or lithium batteries or anything. It's just like you plug it directly into the wall.
Well, and also I live in kind of the Bermuda Triangle of Wi-Fi. What if there isn't reliable Wi-Fi? How does this work?
So it's really, it's based on a cellular bonding technology. So for instance, like we find out where it's going and we do the research and, you know, talk to talent as well and can basically find out, okay, let's say for instance, Verizon and AT&T are the best networks at this location. So we make sure the box is outfitted with SIM cards for those networks. And, you know, the great thing about it is we're recording locally in the box to solid state drive. So we're not dependent upon like a robust data connection in order to achieve what we need to. We just need to have a small amount of bandwidth to make sure that we're seeing the, you know, the feed out of the camera and everybody can appear on a video conference together. So, you know, it luckily doesn't require much data. But however, you know, if talent has, let's say, like we did it this way because we were worried about security. Like the last thing talent wants to do is give someone the password to their home network, right? So the way we're doing it, it's not necessary. However, if they do have a guest network, you know, we'd love to, you know, we can sign onto that guest network to provide another layer of redundancy and a little extra speed. So that's always nice, but it's not integral.
Well, oftentimes on shoots, agencies or brand producers participate and they have sidebar conversations that the talent isn't necessarily involved in. How do you empower those kinds of conversations and how do they occur in such a way that the talent doesn't hear those conversations?
Sure. So you're right. So because talent is involved in the main video conference, the last thing you want to do is have them hear the feedback, right? So a couple of things happen. So we encourage people. So if there's multiple clients or agency people, they are sometimes on their own chat, kind of trading notes back and forth. And then those notes can make their way to me. However, if a conversation needs to happen, we just do a Zoom breakout room. And so that would be between the director or whatever key crew, let's just say the director and the creative director of the agency and potentially the client, whoever, you know, we can specify whoever needs to be on that breakout room. But like, that's a private conversation that happens apart from the talent.
Would that also have some sort of split so they get a sort of video village feed of what's going on?
Yeah, sorry. The great thing about Crew in a Box is the video village is integrated fully. So like it's not a separate component. So everybody sees the video feed out of the camera and that's it. Like you can give notes as if you were on set. There's really no difference.
How many people can participate in one go? Because also you're going to have your agency people, your brand people, they're all going to be remote as well. Are there limits on how many people can also participate? How many different locations can be participating?
Not really. I mean, so we've had, you know, just doing demos, we've had up to 25 people. I believe the capabilities of Zoom, it goes up to 50 or like 99. So, you know, the great thing is you only need one Crew in a Box unit and that goes to talent, but everybody who's, you know, participating in Village, all they need is a computer or a tablet or a cell phone in order to see the feed.
So is Zoom your backbone?
Yep. Yeah, it's proven. We've tested a lot of different systems, and it really is the best way to do it. There's really zero latency, and it's just a really good experience.
What about security? I would hate somebody to crash your session.
Yeah. I mean, so the other thing that the cell bonding does, it creates a virtual private network. So on the end of the talent, but also like the way we set it up, you need to authenticate every person that's coming into the session. So essentially we get a list of from agency and client of all the emails of that people who are supposed to be joining, and we're, you know, letting them in one by one, and basically, you know, they have a verbal passcode of sorts as well. So we're very concerned about security and make sure that we're it's all taken care of.
Right. So the footage, it's on the cards and the camera, and it's returned with the box to you. Do you also post-produce the work, or is that completely up to the client?
Yeah, it's really up to the client. We do offer post-production services through WaveMaker and would love to do that for clients. However, a lot of times they already have posts worked out. And, you know, the great thing about the box is that you can do it a different number of different ways. First, you can live stream out of the box and do like camera switching, because the great thing is you could, let's say, send a crew in a box to a piece of talent, but say you say, oh, we actually would love to have it covered by two cameras. So we will send another camera to be set up that can also be plugged into the box. And because there is a switcher component, like if you're interested in live streaming, we can do just switch between the cameras live. Or, you know, if you're not doing live streaming, both of those cameras record locally and can be edited. So, you know, the great thing is, like, let's say you're only doing a 30-second commercial, right? And it's only a few different shots. We have the ability, like after the session is finished of shooting, that we can basically, the talent doesn't have to participate anymore. The box can still sit in their home, or we can take it to another location, and we can all review takes and actually select takes. And those takes, even at 6K, can be transferred directly over the internet right after, which is great. But in most situations, I would suggest that, you know, the solid state drives are removed from the box. We duplicate them just to be safe. And then one of them could be sent directly to whoever is doing the editing. And then the other one we would keep just at least for the time being to make sure that it was protected in two locations.
Right. So Jeremy, who wrote your software that allows everything to communicate, he's visual effects. So do you also have green screen capabilities with this? Is that something that's planned for the future?
So yeah, some people have asked, like, can we set up a green screen? And like, I don't think you really want talent lighting their own green screen to pull a key. That could be a problem. But the great thing is, because we're shooting, you know, 6K footage, we have the ability to completely remove the background of the talent if you're not happy with it. So, and people are like, how do you do that? Well, it's a combination of machine learning and rotoscoping. But basically we have the capability to remove it. So it's always best to know kind of ahead of time, maybe we want to do that just so we can pick a background and make sure that the lighting of the talent can make sense to place them in that background. But if you want to go into, let's say, a graphic background, it's a lot more forgiving. So, you know, the pre-production work isn't necessarily necessary, I should say. But yeah, we have the capability of removing people from the environment.
Great. I was also thinking the Interitron, which is so interesting, being able to do that and have the talent be able to see the director's face. Is it possible to have because one of the things about the Interitron is, though, they're looking directly into camera. Is there a way that they could see your face off camera at an angle, some other way?
Yes. Actually, so there is a side monitor that is easily removable that you can place on a desk right next to it, which is great because, like, you know, if you do want to have an off-camera eye line, they're still looking at the director or other piece of talent. Like, and actually what I didn't mention is you can do roundtable discussions. So like, say you want to have four people on camera all talking to each other. Well, you can do that and they'd all be looking into, you know, basically if you want to have the Interitron in front of the camera, they'd be looking in the camera and looking at each other at the same time. So, you know, it was important to me as a director I basically looked at it as like, if I didn't invent this thing, what would I want as a director to be able to use? And we really, you know, we could have skimped on a lot of things and made it cheaper, but I wanted it to be as professional quality and versatile as possible.
That's fantastic. It's so impressive what you've done. I'm blown away. I think coming up with this, necessity being the mother of invention, it's really impressive. I want to change gears just as we're actually wrapping up towards the end of our time, and wanted to find out, when you're not inventing new ways to work, how do you stay informed? How do you stay on top of what's going on in the industry? Are there particular newsletters or blogs that you're reading that other people, other listeners might want to find out about and sign up for?
Yeah, I mean, I subscribe to many. So like in terms of like ad industry trades, I'm reading like Muse by Cleo and Shots and a bunch of different things that come in every day. I'm also reading like, you know, technology things like Broadcasting and Cable and Creative Cal, like all kinds of different places to stay informed. And really just by talking to people as well, because, you know, there's some things that aren't as well publicized. And I want to know, like, you know, when we were coming up with this, it's like, I talked to a bunch of people who had done remote productions and said, who have you used and what was the price point and how did it go? Because I really wanted to learn all of the ways that all the difficulties that people were experiencing and try to remove them as much as possible. So, you know, it's super important to me to constantly stay on top of things and be doing the research and just seeing what's out there in order to be able to propose a better way forward.
Did you find, speaking of pricing, in this new world order where you're competing not with how people used to do it, but you're competing with Zoom pricing, how do you determine how to price and how do you make your sell? Because if people are using their iPhones, you know, you can't compete with that because it's just an iPhone, right? I mean, so how did you arrive at the price point?
Well, it was a number of things. I mean, honestly, I've been in talking to some people, it's a little frustrating because before COVID, you would never be okay with like broadcasting something from Zoom. People just wouldn't do it. And now I guess because people have done it and they've seen other people doing it, they think it's, you know, it's acceptable. However, I've just from the sheer amount of calls I've been having in the last couple of weeks, people without even being prompted are saying, we're so sick of this Zoom thing. We're so sick. Like, we can't keep making content like this. So if you care about the way you know, something looks, like you're going to want to try to find a better way. And I say like, look, if you want to compare price points with us between us and Zoom, you're never going to be satisfied. And I would just say, go with Zoom. But if you look at like the cost of what a traditional one day shoot used to be, we're significantly under that. So, you know, we're just providing it, we're shrinking the crew size and we're putting all equipment into one box. So if you compare what you were paying for something comparable that, you know, at least quality wise before COVID comparing to what we have now, like there's no comparison. We beat that all the time by a significant margin. But if you're okay with shooting on an iPhone, like you can certainly do that cheaper than by hiring a crew in a box.
Right. So what's up next for you? What would you say you're most excited about? What's the next thing on your plate?
I mean, this is the first thing I've ever invented. So it's a learning experience every day. And I have a bunch of advisors that I talk to and trying to figure out like the best way forward. And as I said, I'm deeply into the process of manufacturing these now and getting them out to people. But like, you know, as a director, you know, when at the same time we started developing Crew in a Box, I thought there was a concept that I was writing with a friend a couple of years ago that we put away. And I realized, wait a minute, this is kind of the perfect movie to be filmed during COVID because we can use Crew in a Box and shoot that. So luckily we have a lot of interest in that movie right now. So it's really just a matter of time figuring out how to juggle, you know, Crew in a Box and dealing with the feature. And also I have two young kids who I love spending time with. So, you know, it's all a really tough balancing act. And it's something I'm figuring out day by day.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. We've reached the end of our interview, but I so appreciate that you took the time to tell us about Crew in a Box and how it works and how you came up with it and what's happening next.
Thanks so much, Gabrielle. It was a great time.
We've reached the end of another episode of Up Next, and I'd like to close by thanking my production team at Up Next, my friend Rob Naughton, the amazing voice artist who recorded our open, and of course, all of you, the members of our audience. Thank you. I'll be talking to you again next time, right here on Up Next.